Today's sermon is entitled Love Flows from the Heart of God. It's based upon James chapter 1 verses 17 through 27 and Mark chapter 7 verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, 21 through 23. Love flows from the heart of God. Question: how many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? Answer: change? You can't change that bulb. My grandfather donated that bulb back in 1965. Well, I'm sure you get it. Churches and even parsonages are full of stuff that is sacred to someone or other. One pastor back in the days when churches were responsible for furnishing parsonages had a very old couch that was donated by one of the more influential families in the church, a family with quite a history in the church, and the pastor's husband thought the couch was kind of ugly and wanted to throw it away, but the pastor wisely advised him to move it into the basement. Well, during the church Christmas party at the parsonage, one of the family members of the church, one of the family that donated the couch, noticed that the couch was nowhere to be seen, and inquiries were made, and when that person discovered that the memorial couch was in the basement, they were a bit upset. In the end, the pastor found a more visible place for the memorial couch on the main floor of the parsonage, but the family who donated the couch never got over the fact that it had been relegated to the basement of the parsonage for several months. And of course, the pastor and his family were not too pleased having to display this couch in a main room of the house, so they thought that it belonged in the junk heap. Well, if sacred relics can be found in a parsonage, you can be sure that they are in great abundance in churches. Churches themselves become relics that are maintained by lifetime members. The very suggestion of changing some part of the church can cause great distress, even cardiac arrest among some members. You know, you start talking about renovating, you better have a defibrillator on hand. And, you know, we can laugh, but this sort of thing happens in a church. Some folks leave the church when the sanctuary is redesigned or a hymnal is replaced or, God forbid, Team Bethel recruits a drummer. Now, the church itself preserves some customs like baptism and Holy Communion. These are sacraments and those are untouchable. But sometimes we think of a custom as if it were a sacrament, as if it were affronting God to even consider changing it. Our gospel lesson today speaks of this problem. Jesus is having a spat with those pesky Pharisees again, this time because some of Jesus' disciples are not honoring the traditions of their elders because they didn't wash their hands. Now, I don't think Jesus had anything against washing one's hands before eating. That's just good hygiene. But the Pharisees were not concerned about hygiene. They were concerned about tradition. They were saying, hey, Jesus, your friends could get awfully sick. They weren't saying, hey, Jesus, your friends could get awfully sick eating with dirty hands. They were upset, rather, because the disciples weren't following their customs, not laws, but customs. Jesus and his disciples were Jews, and if you're a good Jew, you should, you know, not eat with defiled hands, so the Pharisees thought. And Jesus and his disciples were clearly operating outside of the comfort zone of the Pharisees. Well, comfort zone, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? What's a comfort zone? You know, it's a place where we feel safe and protected from whatever may disrupt our peace. In a very concrete way, our home is a comfort zone. It fills a need for safety and privacy. We can take off our shoes, flop down on the sofa, turn on the TV, and eat a bowl of ice cream. Ah, there's a comfort zone, ice cream. And you can do this and be completely relaxed. That is a comfort zone. It's really pretty basic and innocent, right? Everyone needs a comfort zone, is that correct? Is there anything wrong with protecting our comfort zone? Well, consider everything that is necessary for you to reside in your comfort zone. Say your comfort zone is to be on the couch in front of the television watching a Turner Classic movie with a bowl of Ben and Jerry's strawberry ice cream, and it's 95 degrees outdoors. Well, all right, now your comfort zone requires air conditioning. You need to have air conditioning in your house, which means you really need to have electricity, which means you need to have the means to pay for the electricity or in your apartment or home, which usually means you need a job or some means of support. And if your comfort zone is on the couch in front of the TV with a bowl of ice cream, well, you need a couch and you need a freezer, something to keep the ice cream in. You need a TV and you need a subscription to cable television, reliable cable service, and God knows the customer service representatives for cable companies know just how seriously people take their comfort zones, because you can imagine how many calls they field when there's a cable outage. And let's assume that your comfort zone includes watching a show that requires your attention. Okay, now your comfort zone requires that your roommates and or spouse or children don't distract you while you're watching the program, that your neighbors are not mowing the lawn or doing construction in their home while you're trying to watch the TV. And what about phone calls? Do you have a job that requires you to be on call? Does having your phone always on interfere with your comfort zone? What about the folks that ring your doorbell and ask if they can, if you take a brief survey, or they ask you what church you attend? Is there any way you can turn off your doorbell, not answer the door? You see, your comfort zone may require a lot of maintenance. And that's only your physical comfort zone. What about your social comfort zone? Are there certain topics of conversation that make you squirm or look for a convenient exit? Are there certain buttons that you don't want people to push? Are there certain people you just avoid because of some past incident, because they're prone to pull you out of your comfort zone? It's been a while since I've had anybody walk out of the church during a sermon, but I know that some of the things that I say can cause people to squirm, can cause people to feel outside of their comfort zone. And to bring us back to the scripture lesson, do people ever do things here in the church that take you out of your comfort zone? Do the hymns or the chairs or the prayers or the length of the service cause you some discomfort? Does the pastor's ranting about your comfort zone cause you some discomfort? Both the epistle lesson and the gospel lesson are concerned with these comfort zones. And first century Jews and first century Christians, 21st century Jews, 21st century Christians, we all tend to forget the essence of real religion when you get too caught up in your comfort zones. James writes, "Religion is that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." Now, that doesn't mean that you lock yourself in your house and you only watch Christian broadcasting. That doesn't really afford you much opportunity to take care of widows and orphans if you're confined to your home. What James is saying is that true religion is about caring for others, and that means taking into account what others like and what others prefer, not insisting upon your own way all the time. True religion is not about washing your hands before you eat, because that's the way things have always been done in the church. True religion is about caring, and caring is about loving. And if you have built high walls to protect your comfort zone, you have, in essence, caged yourself in and prevented yourself from truly loving others. Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites, rightfully so, because they imagined themselves to be closer to God by embracing human precepts and doctrines, by maintaining the traditions of the elder. But those things had nothing to do with being close to God. They had more to do with being self-righteous. The Pharisees thought that such practices put them closer to God, when it actually kept them further from God, because their traditions did more to distinguish them from others than it did to unite them with others. It made them insiders in their own mind, folks who knew the rituals and what really pleased God. And it meant that everyone else was an outsider. And what they kept in was contempt for others, intransigence, slander, pride, folly. True religion, James said, once again, is about care. It's about love. It's about keeping yourself unstained by the superficiality and by human pride. True religion means finding your comfort zone in the heart of God. Go figure. Jesus scolds the Pharisees because their hearts were far from God. Our heart needs to rest in God's heart, because only in the heart of God do we learn what true love is. Only then do we experience God's care for us, His forgiveness and His grace, His commitment to us, and His power to work in us and through us, and through His Spirit to transform us. You know, that only then do we really know what love is, and we can find our comfort zone in loving others and being loved first and foremost by God. Because unfortunately, not every human being has learned to love. And if you're waiting for another person to love you, you may be waiting for a very long time. God's love is different. It's always there when you need it, and it's even there when you don't think you need it. And God has no comfort zone. Or rather, all of creation is God's comfort zone. God does not approve of fornication or theft or murder or adultery or avarice or wickedness or deceit or any of those things. All those evil things that flow from the human heart, God does not like them at all. And yet God loves us even when we sin, even when we do acts that offend Him and offend others. You know, and so God is able to be with you wherever you may be, whatever state of sin you may be in. He doesn't turn His back on you and say, "Oh, I can't deal with this." He's there for you. God doesn't confine Himself to any comfort zone. The world is His comfort zone. So whatever ditch you may fall into, whatever rut you may fall into, God is always ready to come down there with you and help you out of the ditch. So when you find your comfort zone in the heart of God, you can find comfort in all other places, because God goes with you into those places, and you can face every circumstance with God's peace surrounding you. And because you find true comfort in the heart of God, you don't need to create any artificial comfort zones founded on the traditions of the elder or founded on Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Our comfort zone becomes contingent upon others' comfort, the place where their true needs are attended to. Because we can reside in the heart of God, and because God can abide in our heart, God's love can flow through us, outward, into the world that desperately needs to know God's love. So the real question this morning is not how many Methodists does it take to change the light bulb, but rather, do the Methodists want to change the light bulb? Are we ready to make changes in ourselves and around us, or are we too dependent upon our old traditions, our old ways, and too insistent upon staying in our personal comfort zones? Will replacing the light bulb take us out of our comfort zone? My prayer for you this morning is that you would build your comfort zone in the heart of God. Pray. Read scripture. Pray. Come to church and Bible studies. Pray. Sing hymns and uplifting things. And did I mention pray? So often our prayers are more for other people or for a particular problem. I think we should pray for our relationship with God. Be a little selfish. Pray for a closer relationship with God. Pray that you would know the heart of God and dwell in the heart of God. There is no need for any other comfort zone when you dwell in the heart of God. And once your comfort zone is in the heart of God, pray that God's love would flow in you and through you to those around you. See if your greatest needs become providing for others' needs. Amen.